It's football at four. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Well, you're off the air. We're talking more details about the stadium issue. Oh, by the way, Emmanuel Sanders will be here on Wednesday.
Man, how did you swing that? I get the day off, right?
No.
What,
no,
Richie?
No.
Here?
No.
No day off? Nah.
I had seen him over the course of a couple of practices and was saying, hey, when you come back on, anytime, you know, hit me up. And then I was just sitting around Friday night and I was like, you want to come in? It was like 9:30, 10 o'clock. And proven he doesn't have his, you know, he's like me, not doing anything on a Friday night with kids. He wrote back to me right away. He said, sure. I go, what day? He goes, Wednesday. I go, see you then.
All right. And ask how the Achilles felt the day after that workout?
Well, I'd already talked to him. Oh, you know what? I guess I didn't actually. I wasn't. We can ask him when he comes in. But like you said.
Oh, he's going to be like my replacement.
No, God, no. No.
He's interviewing.
No, trust me, he's not.
Well, his contract's up, right? He could just walk away.
Yeah,
right into radio.
He's going to NFL.
He's going to the other side. He's going to TV.
He's way too pretty to go on radio.
He's got a face for TV.
Have you ever seen him? He's a good looking dude. Yeah, he's not going to bother with radio, but you know it should be a good conversation. We can certainly ask about his health. I'm curious to ask about the Devontae Booker comments when Booker was like, you know, the quarterbacks ignored us. Nobody would say hi to me. You know, what was that all about? You know, was there a culture with the quarterbacks that has changed? How's he feel about Demaryius? You know, Demaryius was recently said he could have been killed in that car accident.
He said he's lucky to be alive.
You think about that thing. It looked a lot scarier than maybe initial thoughts were. I think Emmanuel he's changed his life significantly. You know, he doesn't bounce back and forth. He lives here. His wife is here. His kids are here. Everybody's here. And he's, you know, it's just a much more of a 9-to-5 type of life. I remember what he wasn't a big fan of the QBs. Sure. Go ahead.
Trevor was a quarterback.
What kind of quarterback was he?
Trevor, he wasn't a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Okay. What was Paxton Lynch?
A quarterback.
What kind of quarterback?
He wasn't a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
What kind of quarterback, though?
He wasn't a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Well, he was a first round draft pick.
He wasn't a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Who was Case Keenum?
A quarterback.
Okay.
What do you want me to tell you?
All right.
What you want me to throw these guys under the bus? I love these guys.
Okay.
I don't think you understand that. I love my teammates. I love the Broncos organization. I love the city of Denver. I love my teammates. I would never throw my teammates under the bus.
I mean, he kind of.
No, he didn't throw them under a bus. He was just stating a fact that they did not win a Super Bowl with Case Keenum, Paxton Lynch, or Trevor Siemian. He's a quarterback that didn't win a Super Bowl. There's a lot in between there.
That's true. A lot. You're right. And maybe we'll flush it out. Richie's rolling his eyes.
Come on. He's a current player. He's got to be careful somewhat.
Yes, of course. We'll have him in on Wednesday. Should be fun. I see James Marilat. We got to get him in studio here. Let's do get James
coming.
After
he's
the break.
He's not coming on.
After the break, okay? You got to get him in here. And I don't want to say, don't even say it, because we'll say it live on
but
the
have
air,
you
okay?
talked to him?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No.
All right.
But let's.
Oh, he's rolling.
Okay.
He's not backing down.
Okay. I have not, but let's save it till after the break. It's worth it.
Look at him.
The biggest.
Oh, smug.
The biggest day in Broncos history. Now, this year, to me, was January 11th. And this is on a technicality because when was VJ fired?
31st.
Okay, so technically it wasn't in this year, right? So
parts of the world it was. We can go with that.
If you want to say that day meant everything, sure. I'm just kind of talking since that moment, since VJ was fired.
Well, I think that's an important day because
AVJ.
VJ was fired and John Elway did the firing, meaning John Elway stayed.
All right, let me just give you my, that's true. That's a big deal. Don't sleep on that fact. All right, let me just give you my big day, okay? And one of the biggest days, I think, it was one of the most shocking days in Broncos history, to me, was January 11th, when they moved on from Gary Kubiak because they refused to hire Dennison and Perriani, have him back. I don't think it had much to do with his son. But I think it had to do with Dennison and Perriani. Tom, I cannot tell you how critically important, in my opinion, that day was to the future success of the Broncos. And specifically Vic Fangio. This isn't to rag on Gary Kubiak or say he's a bad person or a bad coach, but it would have been so confusing to see Vic Fangio and Gary Kubiak out there on the field at the same time.
I don't see the...
Come on, really?
Confusing how?
Who is in charge?
Gary Kubiak's in charge of the offense. Vic Fangio is in charge of the team and the defense.
Not a good way to operate. I'm so happy for Vic Fangio that he is able to do this job. And I understand Mike Munchak used to be a head coach, but it's just different. It's just
why?
Because
he's an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
He's not that sexy
right.
pick.
Yes, actually. Yes. Yes.
He interviewed. You don't think that's weird? The guy that's running the offensive line, a few steps below head coach, yep. below coordinator, yep. wanted the head coaching job.
He wanted to be here in Denver.
He interviewed for the head coaching job.
From what I was told, yes, he did, but he was okay just being here in Denver. That was a bigger priority to him than anything.
Nah, I'm okay not getting the head coaching job.
Kind of. Different people are in different spots in their life, Tom. What can I tell you?
Then why did he interview for the head coaching job at all?
People interview for jobs that they don't really want all the time because it opens the door for something else. January 11th, I'll never forget it. I just couldn't believe it. Still one of the most shocking things of all time.
It was a, there was a lot. It was a juicy offseason.
Nothing more juicy
nope,
than that.
No, Vic Fangio was not on much of the radar. I mean, it was Pagano. Everybody wanted Pagano. He was the local guy.
People, right.
You know, Vic Fangio was the last guy in. It was, things changed in the course of 2 weeks. VJ was fired. John Elway retained his job.
Right.
Vic Fangio was hired as the last interviewee, and Gary Kubiak was shown the door. That was in 2 weeks.
That it was an insane time. Insane. Things do feel so much more settled down. But
Case Keenum was the starting quarterback.
That's right.
Then a few weeks later, we had Case Keenum and Joe Flacco. It was a weird... remember this? The Broncos trying to get Scangarello
right.
from the 49ers were denied permission to talk to him.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they were allowed to talk to him.
We'll go through more of the details.
It was a crazy time that people think, you know, that happened a long time ago. That never happened.
It's just a couple months ago.
This is what happens when you go 5-11 and 6-10.
When we come back, though, and we can go through more. I think it's worth digging into for sure. But we got to bring James in. Because there was a news story today that, I mean, it was just from manna. Manna? Manna? Heaven.
Manna? Food from
manna?
Food from heaven?
Manna. It was news from manna. We'll bring in Jimmy next.
Now back to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Hi, James Mayer live from 104.3thefan.com. We always love talking with James. He's not shy with his opinion. That's why 104.3thefan.com is so fun to read. But I got to give you this. After excoriating the Broncos for field day.
Scathing article.
And using the Patriot model. Would the
Patriots way.
Would the Patriots do this? It was with a sense of wonderment today that I read that Bill Belichick
He said, what are the Patriots doing today? When he learned of the Broncos field day. What are the Patriots doing right now?
Bill Belichick canceled the final two OTAs.
Absolutely.
Well, when you're coming off of a Super Bowl victory.
Oh, my God.
Bam!
You can get away with these kind of things.
Is that your defense?
They won the Super Bowl last year.
They also are not introducing a new head coach. They're not introducing a new quarterback. Everybody, the main people are back. They have a new defensive coordinator, but that's
about
it.
So hold on. So sometimes it is okay to just blow off not only one practice, but two.
Well, it's important to note that they did report today for a team organized activity.
Oh, what was that?
Meaning team building. I don't have what they actually did. I don't know if there was balloon tosses in there or whatever.
Was there a dunk tank? Did they spend hours and hours making signs and filling up balloons?
Hours and hours. By the way, I got the skinny how that happens. I got the skinny.
I don't think Vic Fangio was making the signs.
No, I'll tell you.
Was he blowing up?
I'll tell you what happened. It came up weeks ago. And then 1 week before, they sort of dialed it in. And Fangio had like nothing to do with it. It was definitely work done from those behind the scenes.
Okay. All right.
Vic wasn't overseeing the sign production nor the balloons.
So valuable time wasn't wasted on it. That's good. You know what? In all honesty, it did make me feel a little bit better about it when I saw what the Patriots were doing.
Okay.
It made me feel a little better.
Did you know that the Patriots won the Super Bowl last season, and prior to that season, they canceled their last two OTAs to go to Fenway Park?
I did know that. Now, okay. I do think, in all honesty, there is a vast difference between blowing off a couple of days of OTAs when you've had the same quarterback and the same head coach forever.
But you didn't say that last week with us. You didn't put qualifiers on it.
So all new people.
So what you're saying is they got the practices off as a reward for having a great season. However, Joe Flacco and Vic Fangio should be punished for the bad season they weren't a part of.
No, I'm just saying it's new faces in the two most important positions in the franchise, head coach and quarterback. I think all the time they can be on the field getting used to each other,
which they were,
is invaluable.
Do you know that the activities were on the field?
They were
getting to know each other.
I think they need a little more attention to X's and O's when you're 11-21 over the past.
Don't
two
you feel
seasons.
Bad that you used your Don't. The Patriots as your model? And then news breaks today. They're missing the last two.
I wish I would have used a different example.
They're
for
right.
sure.
They're missing
right.
two.
Without a doubt.
Two practices. Throw in the fact that the Broncos do get an extra week in training camp. Also got the extra mini camp because they do have that new head coach.
You know who I bet isn't blowing things off? I bet you anything. Good old Jacksonville with Tom Coughlin.
Grinding.
I bet he is grinding. You think he would take these? Five minutes early is ten minutes later, whatever it is.
It doesn't make sense.
He was the one getting up this year and making fun of the OTAs like it's really not voluntary.
And they're probably going to win the AFC South.
I don't know. Maybe they got some good players, but he is a grinder.
I like the grinder. I like especially when you've been bad.
You have to strike the balance between. Steve Spurrier, who made fun of, remember him when he got the job in Washington,
right,
mocking
right.
Jim Haslett down in New Orleans. Well, how's that worked out for him?
Right.
Because they're practicing all the time. There's a fine balance. You got to find the balance in between grinding and being too soft. And Vic Fangio has run a grindish type offseason and rewarded his players with a good time.
No, and I'm with you. You do have to find that happy medium, right? Because Steve Spurrier made fun of the guys who were working 100 hours a week, but he also spent way too much time on the golf course. He needed to work a little bit more.
He didn't find that balance.
Exactly. So if Vic Fangio has found it, great. I hope he has. And like I told you guys last week, hey, if I'm wrong and this team is really good and they all look back in November and December and say, you know, we kind of galvanized as a team back in June when we had field day, great.
You said they were going to go 10-6.
I stand by
you,
that.
You and I both agree on that the Broncos are going to be much better than the national outlook of the team is.
Correct.
Does them missing that last practice have any effect on your 10-6?
No, but it worries me. It does worry me.
So you're still predicting they'll win 10 games regardless of that last missed opportunity to get better.
It's just the needle moved a little closer to 9. But I'm still sticking with 10.
So we're at 9.8, 9.7?
Yeah, I mean, it's higher than 9.5, so rounding up.
Right. Sometimes the difference can be an egg toss. I mean, you know? between winning and losing.
Hey, isn't it worth something that Garrett Bowles won something?
He's a great
He's the home run derby champion.
No, that's the problem, is how great of an athlete he actually is.
But
he is a great athlete.
Shouldn't he have some success as a Denver Bronco? Can't we point to him winning the home run derby?
He'll always have that moment.
As something to propel him into the 2019 season and to earn D-Mac's fifth-year option?
When we're drafting, Joe Smith, 6'9", 320-pound tackle from Alabama or wherever next year, we can think of the moment that Garrett Bowles.
Or Chaz Green is our new left tackle.
Sure,
exactly.
Chaz.
The guy who does not deserve a day of goofing around is the guy who won the home run derby,
My God.
Could have used a little more time grinding.
A little pick-me-up. Maybe the rest of the guys just laid down bunts so Garrett could win something.
James, were you mad that Charlie Blackmon took some specialized batting practice reps?
You know, I heard you mention that last week and when I was driving
down
the road.
Were you upset about that,
yes,
too?
Yes, I was.
Oh, my God.
It's a bad idea.
How did he do
it's
after that?
It's not a bad idea.
It was fine.
He had like 450 the next week.
Sometimes it ends up working out. That doesn't mean it wasn't a bad idea. It still can be a bad idea.
No, it wasn't a bad... Okay. I love you, James. I should have guessed that maybe you were anti-Charlie Blackmon.
You will like the piece I just
anti-fun.
Posted.
Anti-fun.
Well, it's just anti-fun. There's no doubt about
that. Five most annoying things you'll see Cubs fans do down in Florida this week.
How many brand new Cubs hats will we see at Coors Field?
That's on the list.
Yeah,
you
brand new. Check those brims out. Brand new.
They are the worst, aren't they? We can all agree on something.
By far the worst. They'll be cracking open their old style. They'll be doing all those things.
The funny part about Cubs fans is they don't realize how arrogant and annoying they actually are.
They have no concept of it.
No.
No clue.
No. Because they think everybody loves the Cubs. They really are clueless to how much we despise the Cubs.
And I don't mind the true lifelong Cubs fan who, you know,
the Bartmans of the world.
Exactly. Those kind of people, they're fine. They're just a small percentage of them. That's the problem.
No, it's like my grandfather used to listen to them when he lived in Montana. So we're lifetime Cubs fans, even though we grew up in, New Mexico.
It's the rando who watched them on WGN, and now you got all these,
But WGN,
guys.
How long ago was WGN?
But everybody got WGN back in the day.
In the 80s, before ESPN had baseball every night.
It was always during the day, so you'd come home from school and you could watch the Cubs.
But you'd have to be in your 60s at this time to be influenced by WGN.
It's the people in their 40s and 50s, but now you have the new generation.
Oh, I know.
The people who move there.
Trust me.
They hang in Wrigleyville.
They could say the same thing about Red Sox fans, too.
Although the Red Sox fans are up there.
They know that they're hated.
Yeah,
Cubs fans don't.
Right, that's true. That's the difference. Cubs fans are always shocked when you let them know how much you hate them.
Red Sox fans are in the top five. They know.
But they're okay.
Fine with it.
It's kind of Boston in general.
James, we gotta go.
All right,
shut up, James.
Always good to hear.
No love for Big Poppy.
104.3 The Fan. 104.3thefan.com, the lovable James Marillette.
These words have never been spoken from his kids, anybody.
There's something critical that has to happen, and it might happen before we think, which is a good thing. Details next.
It's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Kind of an interesting story out of the NFL. They want a new CBA, Tommy, by September 1st. Per Mike Florio, the league is targeting September 1st because it doesn't want the CBA negotiations looming over the multi-month 100th season celebration. What do you think about that?
Why didn't they make the CBA longer than originally in 2011? If they didn't want it over this black cloud over the celebrating 100 years of the NFL.
How well do you remember that time?
2011?
When the lockout was going on, all that stuff. How well do you remember it?
Pretty well. I just remember all the players were work. I wasn't playing, but
were you in radio at the time or?
Nope. I was retired. I was out south. That's it. That's all I was doing.
Okay.
But I know all the players working out with Lauren Landau over at the bubble.
Yes.
The family sports bubble.
That's right.
And it was, in the back of my mind, these guys are, the players will cave because that's what the union will do.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to get out of it. And what they got out of it was less practices, you know, basically more free time is what they got. Less padded practices, less practices in general. And I'm not sure that helps the player, but I'm not sure what else they got out of it. They didn't get, I don't think they got more money. I think it's still split like 53-47 or 48-52, somewhere around there with the TV revenue. I'm not sure what else they got out of it. But now,
well, you got less practice.
You got the same number of guys on the roster.
Yeah.
The same amount of money.
And you shorter got less practices.
Less practice. But I don't know if I would think that the older veteran players were in favor of that, but I don't think every player was in favor of that. There are guys that have got jobs in the NFL because they did something the second practice of two-a-days, or it was just more opportunities back then, prior to 2011. But that's also the time after I retired is when people started learning about CTE. My entire career, the NFL was looking into CTE from the years 1994 to 2008, like the exact time of my career.
Right.
They knew about it all, and it only came out in 2009.
Right.
So then that's the effect it had on the – in 2011 was, oh, the players want protection from the head injuries.
Right. It was the biggest
that
deal.
Was the biggest thing they wanted.
Yeah.
Because the NFL released all this information. They were at least forced to or embarrassed to – embarrassed.
Well, they had to come up with that settlement, which was, what, $750 million, something like that?
Yeah, that thing. Who's gotten a penny out of that outside of lawyers?
Not many.
But that was the big thing the players wanted. They took this
– player safety.
The brain injury and CTE, and that was their big thing going into 2011.
So where are we now, nine years later?
Now it's money. Now they want to see that needle move. They want 50-50 to get that 18-game schedule. That's my thought.
Okay.
Is that the NFL will give up two preseason games.
Yeah.
We'll add two games to the regular season.
Yeah.
And the players are going to get paid more. Like overall, like the pot will be split differently now.
That's what it's about.
Which is what the players, for the most part, have always fought for. 2011 was the exception.
I think you're right, basically. It was funny going to the Super Bowl year after year. And the topic was all player safety. Player safety.
And you can read that about the NFL wanting to get this resolved before the 100th. They don't want this black cloud hanging over the 100th anniversary and all that. Hell no. It's about the TV deals that they got to put together. And if you can package... If you're going into the next negotiation with all these networks and you can package two more games, that's just more money. That's what it's about. It has nothing to do with the 100th anniversary. It's about the TV deals that are probably expiring around that time.
So do you think the fans will care about this at all? Maybe, though, actually, if it's what do you think is the best interest of the fans?
Well, no stoppage.
No stoppage.
They could care less if the billionaire is not sharing enough money with the millionaires. They don't care about that.
Right.
They would like to see no stoppage. They would love to see two more games, and they don't care how the money is split up. They could care less. But give me two real games in lieu of two fake games.
You know what's funny? That's what the NFL wants too.
And the players would go for it, provided...
If what?
Money. It's money.
How much more money, percentage-wise? What are we talking about?
If we're around 47, 48, it's probably, I would assume, they'd want to see at least 50. 50% of TV revenue. That's where the players get paid.
And so this would just go
to every
player.
That's where the salary cap is based on TV revenue.
It would go to every player just...
No, it's a salary cap. It goes to whatever... The salary cap could be... If it's, what is it, one...
Oh, I see what you're saying. You just get more money that you can spend money on.
And they have to, in the CBA,
so
you
ultimately,
have to spend
you can make more money.
And maybe that floor that a team has to spend of the salary cap goes higher.
Right.
Make the team spend every dollar they have to.
Unlike Jacksonville, who, when there was no salary cap, just drove it to the bottom.
Right.
We thought there would be teams... Talk about the wrong way of thinking. We thought there were teams that would go crazy to make their teams better. It was the exact opposite. Teams are like, screw it. I don't want to spend any money.
Force the teams to use all of the money every year in the salary cap No more rollovers, nothing like that. And a bigger portion of the revenue split.
So are we about to see 18 games?
If you pay the players, if you give them the money, the players will play. Get rid of two preseason games. Roger Goodell's already mentioned that a couple weeks ago up at the Jim Kelly
tournament. What about player safety?
That continues on with one-a-days and a certain amount of padded practices. You already have that built in. They're not going to go back to two-a-days. How much safer can you make the game? You can't without watering it down any more than it already is.
So the players, when you hear a player talking about player safety with more games, it's kind of a line of BS, right?
One thing they might want to do, we talked about this last week, is expand rosters. You don't feel compelled to get back in there because depth is always an issue in the NFL when you're dressing 45 guys. Expand the roster and let the roster, all of them, dress for the game. Makes no sense to me, never has, where you dress 45 out of 53.
This will be what it's all about.
Right.
This will be what it's all about. Well, I got to be honest with you. This doesn't sound that hard. This doesn't sound like a hard sell for anybody.
Yeah, but it doesn't. But when you're talking about 47% to 50%, there's billions there. It's like $1 billion that you're taking out of their pockets and putting it into the players. But you got to think, the TV revenue, the new TV deals that they'll be able to
gargantuan.
Do.
Gargantuan.
Huge.
Because you get two more regular season games. Huge.
Huge.
And you tie that all into your idea of extending the season and making President's Day weekend.
Yeah.
And Super Bowl Sunday stays on the Sunday. No one goes to work Monday anyways if your teams are in the
game.
Perfect,
right? It's going to just explode. It'll get even bigger. And now...
Which is amazing to say, because you don't think the NFL could get bigger.
It can get bigger. And now, all of a sudden, player safety? There's a price. This is The Drive on The Fan.
You are listening to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
What are you asking me? I know we're looking at Carson Wentz on TV.
So they picked up his deal, or they extended him, going into his fourth year.
Yeah, okay.
But had they not done that, and had they picked up paid him for the fifth year, how much more would they have paid him going into that sixth year, provided they didn't franchise him? I think they saved a bunch of money by getting a deal done now.
You ultimately save money if you can get it done, yeah.
It hurts now for the team, but not in a couple years, provided he plays well.
Yeah, the question is, like, how in the world are you supposed to turn down so much money guaranteed like Carson Wentz? He could have made himself more money if he was patient, but he has an injury history, and I don't know, you work your whole life to get that kind of deal. Period. You're done.
I think he wants to win a Super Bowl there. You know, people think...
I think now,
The knock on him is, you know, Nick Foles did it, not him.
Let me ask you a question. At what year in your NFL career does winning a championship actually matter? There's no way it matters your rookie year. Your rookie year, you are trying to survive.
It depends on what position you're at. It wasn't Roethlisberger... What year was he in 05 when they won?
Well, he won in his second year.
He was pretty young. That was his second year.
He won in his second year, yeah.
I'm not saying you're upset that you win, but
I'm asking, like, at what point is, like, winning the most important thing?
For a quarterback, I think winning early would be fantastic because it takes a lot of pressure off you, especially when you're a first-round pick. I think as a player in general, I think probably if you haven't won a Super Bowl and you're going into your 10th year, that's basically you've been through two contracts. Winning at that point is a priority.
Yeah, at what point does it drive you nuts that you haven't won a Super Bowl?
It's probably around year 10. I mean, Joe Thomas had to have been his priority by the end of his career, but they were so bad. I just feel bad for a guy like that, a left tackle.
Yeah, but Joe could have left.
He could have agreed to a trade.
Joe could have done more things to win a championship.
When your team is picking one overall every year, you'd think that eventually you'll find a quarterback. Eventually you'll find pieces to fit that we're going to make a run here.
See, there's parts of me that looks at guys like Joe Thomas and I'm like, I guess you were just like kind of too comfortable, man.
You don't think he wanted to win a Super Bowl?
Not at the end of the day, because he would have let himself get traded.
I think he wanted to win there.
You don't go from like 0-16 to winning the Super Bowl.
So you want to be like Kevin Durant and go to some super team?
Yes. Yes, if winning means that much to you.
Winning means more to do it where you started.
I got you, but it wasn't even close to being the scenario.
How do you know that? With the NFL, you can go from 4-12. You can go from a 4-12 Rams team the next year, win the Super Bowl.
There's no way. They didn't have a quarterback.
There's no way. But you don't know that.
Well, yeah,
until you watch the quarterback play.
Thomas. I should have let myself
Joe
get
Thomas
traded.
Wants to put on 100 pounds right now and get back out there. I can guarantee you.
I think Joe, Tony Romo to me didn't really want to win a Super Bowl. Not really.
What? How can you make that statement?
Because
that's ridiculous.
He was too happy to just go back into broadcasting. He had years left. He had teams that wanted him.
He was falling apart. His shoulders were made of.
Was he?
Wasn't he?
Peyton Manning had 4 neck surgeries and still played for 4 years. Something tells me.
Peyton Manning came back from 4 neck surgeries and was Peyton Manning for 3 out of the 4 years he played here. There was no.
Tony Romo
there was. There was no guarantee that.
Wait. Tony Romo was coveted. There were multiple teams that would have been thrilled, including the Broncos, to get Tony Romo when he retired for TV. He just lost the passion. He didn't care anymore.
I think his body told him he couldn't play anymore.
You
think John Elway wouldn't want to have gone on to 3 Super Bowls in a row?
Yeah, John's different.
His body
fell
apart.
You think John was going to just quit before he won a Super Bowl?
If his body fell apart, there's nothing you can do about it.
Boy, you're giving Tony Romo a lot of credit, man.
He would break his collarbone like every year.
Let me ask
you. Or shoulder, whatever he did.
Do you think Todd Helton wanted to win a World Series?
Yes.
Then
why did he stay here?
That's right.
Because he wanted to win with the team that drafted him.
And when it wasn't going to happen, and he.
Do you know that?
There were years where they were terrible by this time. The season was over.
They went to the World Series.
In 2007. And in 2009, they went to the playoffs, and then they hit a slump of like 5 straight years where they weren't even close.
How can you predict a slump?
You know where you're at during the season.
Okay. So Todd Helton didn't want to win a World Series. Tony Romo didn't want to win. Are you insane? Everybody wants to win.
If you really want to win, why wouldn't you take a deal to get traded to an American League team and play a role?
Do you know how happy Mike Lotish was, your boy from Buffalo?
Yeah.
Loser of 4 straight Super Bowls. Do you know how happy he was to come to Denver and win a Super Bowl?
I'm sure he was thrilled, of course. But he was still a young guy at the time.
He was like his 10th year. Maybe 8th year.
Nobody
remembers the 0-4 games after you win a Super Bowl. He's no longer a punchline. You're insane. Tony Romo didn't want to win a Super Bowl?
Mm-mm.
Man.
Gotta keep playing. Why did Peyton Manning keep playing football?
Because he loves football. That's all he wants to do.
Okay.
And he came back.
Would you be better if I just said Tony Romo didn't stop loving football?
No, do you see the love of football when he does games? You can tell he loves the game of football.
He loves watching football.
Peyton Manning, if the 4 neck surgeries, he could come back and couldn't throw the football anymore. He was retiring. Insane to think Todd Helton didn't want to win a World Series.
No, I think he did. I think he just wanted to win
because
he stayed in
Colorado because he's nice and comfortable and cozy here and was the man here.
Yes.
He didn't want to win a World Series.
Not bad enough, no. He would have accepted a trade to go to the American League.
Man, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's a tough take.
Yeah. Some guys get comfortable.
Some guys.
Why did Ray Bourque get traded? Why did he accept a trade?
Stop about Raymond Bourque. Don't do that. I knew that was going to come up.
Why did he do it?
I don't know.
He wanted to win, Tom. And they weren't going anywhere. And
they were going somewhere.
Oh, my Lord.
They won in 2011. He couldn't hang on?
No, he could not hang on.
He had 10 more years in him.
2011. Ray Bourque just wanted to win a Stanley Cup a little bit more.
Ray Bourque was sick of the GM and wanted to get out of there.
Okay, fine. What is that? Is that mutually exclusive?
But just because you get traded in the middle of the season doesn't automatically mean you're going to win a Stanley Cup. Just because Todd Helton would go to the American League playing for the Royals wouldn't mean he's going to win a World Series.
Gives them a better chance. There's no guarantees that the Avs are going to win the Stanley Cup. They went to seven games against the Devils.
How can you make this blanket statement that Todd Helton and Tony Romo did not want to win? That's crazy.
Did Kevin Durant want to win?
Yes.
He's playing tonight, by the way.
He is. He has to.
So what was he willing to do in order to win?
Sign with Golden State.
And how'd that go?
It went well for him.
Why didn't he just stay in Oklahoma City?
But his legacy will always be, well, you only won because you went to Golden State. There's the other side of it. Why didn't you just win in OKC?
Yeah, Ray Bourque only won a Stanley Cup because he came to the Avs. I mean, let's go down the laundry list. Kevin Durant, who else is gravy trained to championship?
Kevin Durant would be thought of in the NBA as a much greater champion had he stayed in OKC with...
But he wanted to win.
James Harden had stayed
there.
And Russell Westbrook, and they won then.
Yeah, but screw that. I want a gravy train.
Yeah, people say he took the easy way out.
All right.
Raymond Bourque took the easy way out.
I see where this is going. I get it. I didn't understand it at first. Now I get it.
John Elway lost 3 Super Bowls. Why did he stick around?
Because
he had car dealerships, and he's all cozy here.
You have a higher sense of loyalty for players to teams than most people do. You like when guys stick around.
I do. I like to see guys go through tough times, getting blown out in 3 Super Bowls and coming back and winning in the city.
You stuck around.
This one's for John. Do you not remember that?
I do remember it.
My mother thought he said Tom, but I said, no, Ma. No, it was John. It wasn't
this
Tom.
Tom! Let's go to Sam. Hey, Sam, you're on the fan. What's up, pal?
Hey, you guys, love the show. Thanks for having me. Just wanted to ask if you guys think, these CBA negotiations that are about to come up, you know, will we see guys push for, you know, better guaranteed contracts or bigger cap hits when they do get cut from a contract? Or are we going to have to wait until, you know, more small, mid-sized college programs get rid of their football programs after, you know, seeing the CTE research and all that's happening with young men's brains to, you know, finally make it so these guys in the NFL aren't so replaceable for guaranteed contracts to actually become a thing.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you, Sam. I can never see the NFL go the route of the other sports with the guaranteed contracts.
This is something the players should fight for, but the owners will never concede
on that.
This
will never happen.
So if the players want to fight for it, they're going to be standing on the unemployment, not unemployment, but lockout line or whatever it is, forever. The owners just will never concede that.
Should they fight for it?
Sure.
I'm not sure what the tie into CTE was with that and the guaranteed contracts. I think those are two separate things. You can't take CTE and brain injury out of the game, but because the NFL is so physical, you just see it in all the other sports. The problem with the guaranteed contract is that you're stuck with Ian Desmond or Jose Reyes with the Rockies or Will Barton. You're kind of stuck with these players with these contracts because they are guaranteed. And I'd hate to see the NFL has given a lot. There's a lot more guaranteed money now than a lot of these free agent, Kareem Jackson signed a 3-year, $33 million contract, and $23 million of that is guaranteed. But I love the idea that if a player doesn't work out, you can cut bait and just move on.
Yeah.
I think
you
the
like
NFL,
that, huh?
I still love...
You know, the fans should love that.
The idea of the NFL contract, as cold as it is, to me is perfect for the sport of football because of the injuries and for the fan. Because you can, you sign a big name free agent, he doesn't do well, cut, move on. It's easy. That's why the NFL is so competitive. You don't see the top teams. You don't see the Dodgers and Yankees and just a couple teams in the NFL outside of the unicorn that is the Patriots, winning every year. Because the NFL is structured in a way that every team has a chance to revamp and reboot year in, year out through the draft, free agency, salary cap. Every team's even.
So, knowing that, if they do add 18 games and increase the salary cap, the stars are going to love it.
The stars are the ones that starters
are going to love
and
it.
They're the ones
stars
that,
and starters.
But they're the ones that deserve.
Right. They're, you know, what, they're
if,
who we're
if,
watching.
If we're expanding the roster to 60 active players, guys on the roster from not even 30, probably 25 to 60, we're talking minimum. It's the guys from 1 to 25 that are going to be the ones that benefit, the ones that are out there playing every week.
So you know who's going to support it? Well, I think most of the players will support it. By the way, the whole health thing, I just don't believe it when a player says anything like it anymore. I used to, for sure, because so much information was kept from you guys was ridiculous.
And now the players know.
If you don't, you're an idiot. There's so much information out there, it's ridiculous.
And the NFL has given the players, as far as that goes, with off-season, with training camp, and some of the rules within the game, it's about as watered down as you can expect.
Yeah.
And still be able to
and
go out there
football.
And perform.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't that long ago. I was out there for like a Josh McDaniels practice. You know, it's you're in pads. I mean, that was... I just don't remember Shanahan riding you guys that hard. Were you in pads twice a day during camp with Shanahan?
No. We were always pads. Pads morning. Just the foams in the afternoon.
But like Josh McDaniels...
Except for bye week after we got ran over by Corey Dillon.
Oh, well, then you deserve
it. That was the worst bye week of all time.
Sorry. If you don't remember, it was Tyler Palumbus hurt himself on the afternoon fully padded practice, like going up against Tyler Palumbus.
Wasn't he going against Vaughn?
No, it was Tyler.
Wait, who got hurt?
Elvis ripped his pec.
Oh, that's right, his pec.
Yeah, because Tyler's like 6'8", and Elvis is like 5'10", maybe.
That's just pass rush, though, and that would happen.
There was
pads or no
fatigued.
Pads.
I've talked to Tyler about it. It was dumb. It was just a dumb thing. Bad things were going to happen under this system, and that doesn't exist anymore.
But that's not the reason that a torn pec is not the reason the players wanted less hitting.
I'm just saying the players wanted a more. Well, they did want less hitting.
Less contact because of the head.
And they wanted less time on the field, which they got.
Because of the head, not the pectoral.
So now it's down to, in this new negotiation, you are correct. It's just purely...
It's money.
Cash.
Right.
Never mind, we're too tired or whatever about... No, forget it.
We'll give up two preseason games. We'll add two regular season games.
Yep.
But we want a lot more of the pie.
And that will be the negotiation.
Right.
So I just can't take a player seriously if they're going to say anything about safety anymore. That just doesn't work here.
No, because they've got what they've wanted. They know the risks.
Yeah.
I always thought the helmet, I always thought boxers were crazy because they were out there punching each other in the head with no protection. I spent my entire NFL career in college thinking the helmet was the difference.
The helmet was the problem.
I did, and people will think, how could you not know? Well, nobody heard of CTE
right.
10 years ago. Nobody. Well, the NFL did, but the players did not. And the general public did not know about that.
Would you have done anything differently?
Probably not, because it's fun.
KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver. Just after 5 o'clock in Denver, hockey, the Bruins win.
Monster knocks in it across. Score! What a shot by Marchand! Pointing it on back. There by Carlo, and his shot. Score! Got it back over. Coleman has shot. He scores!
NBA with the Raptors wrap it up.
Three-pointer is good. Leonard for three. Knocks it down. Leonard trying to get the ball. Curry's on him. Here comes the double team. Leonard trying to split. Almost travel. Van Vliet throws it up. Oh, he puts it in! A rainbow from Van Vliet. Ball knocked loose, and Leonard able to save it. Danny Green for three. Bang! Does it again.
And in the best sports story of the day, Justin Bieber has
has
thrown down the gauntlet.
Has challenged Tom Cruise to an MMA fight. I'm reading the story that several Broncos are joining Derek Wolfe with the Muay Thai. Muay Thai?
Yeah, let's just go Muay Thai.
Muay Thai training. I think I've been part of some Muay Thai training in my day.
Well, he's lying. There's no doubt about that.
No, Muay Thais. Forget it. Let me go through it. Let some reaction from you quickly. Bruins win. Take it to Game 7. Who do you like in Game 7?
Still like the Blues.
Blues are 9-3 on the road. Is that why? Because they've been so successful on the road?
No.
Or is it just being a gloomy Gus's kind of protection?
Gloomy Gus, if you watched the game last night, you think there's no way the Bruins are going to win that game.
Do the Raptors wrap it up?
There's nobody that can give you a legit prediction on this game with Durant. What kind of impact
Durant
he can make.
Durant is coming back and playing.
He's playing. Yeah. But what kind of impact can he make? It's weird. Toronto is that team that, whether it's Van Vliet or Siakam or the other night, Ibaka, there's a guy that's going to contribute way more than their average would be, scoring average. There's always a guy on this team that seems to step up. Lowry was one game. It's like this, they have these random, like, just breakout games. Danny Green, that was game 3, I think, where he was cold. He was the Will Barton of the Nuggets. And then all of a sudden, Danny Green started hitting one game. Ibaka, Durant, James Harden, Westbrook. That's a stud team right there.
It's all right. It doesn't have
and only one
Steph
is left.
Curry, who's the best player in the planet.
There's only one left.
Yeah. Who are you pulling for? Drake
I'm pulling for
Golden
for
State?
Westbrook with OKC because I want to see him win with the team he started with.
All right. Do you think you'd feel differently if you played for another team besides the Broncos?
Probably. I don't know. It's weird. It's a parallel universe type conversation.
I mean, you came here and you just never left.
Right. And maybe that's my ideology, whatever, my makeup.
I mean, it's kind of funny to
stick
think of.
Stick with it. Yeah.
I'm going to stick with it.
Stick with your prom date.
I don't care that she was from out of town and she put on 40.
I just got so comfortable here and I didn't want to win. I just wanted to stay in Denver. That's your thought. If we had never won, you'd be saying the same thing about me that you said about Tony Romo and Todd Helton. That dude played 15 years for the Denver Broncos and never won. He was just comfortable to be. He was just happy to be there. Just comfortable.
If you had options to go somewhere else, I might say that, yeah. I may say that, yeah. But the fact of the matter is you won your championships very early in your career.
Yeah, like year four and five.
It's pretty awesome. I mean, you just kind of check that. I mean, what a great relief just to just be done with it,
That's
right?
What I'm saying about Roethlisberger winning in the second year as a first-round quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you get that the weight of the world off your back.
Yeah. Yeah, Russell Wilson. What's the rest of your career? The rest of your career is a pretty good deal, right? Kind of gravy.
Super Bowl champion.
You can stay comfortable. You don't have to chase anything. I don't know, man.
Can't believe you say that about me. I was just comfortable to stay here.
You tell me. Did you want to play anywhere else?
No, I wanted to play here. This is the Nuggets and Rockies and the Avalanche may not have the cachet in their leagues like the Broncos do.
Mm-hmm.
But the Denver Broncos, at least when I was playing there, because we had stable ownership, it was one of the Steelers, Green Bay, the 49ers, the Cowboys, and the Broncos. That was like those were the teams.
Why do you think it felt like that as a culture? Why do you think it?
Because we were the only. When I got here, the Rockies were 2 years in. There were no Avs. The Nuggets were they just had beaten the Supersonics, but they were this is Denver. The Broncos are Denver. Denver are the Broncos. It's like Green Bay. They're the only show in town.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas is the same way. I mean, people weren't thinking Mavs basketball. You think the Cowboys. You think Denver. You think the Broncos.
You like being part of that culture.
I do. It was fantastic. And I fell into it.
You got lucky.
I got lucky.
Major luck. I wouldn't say lucky. Nobody gets lucky.
No, I got lucky. The reason I'm here is because Keith Kartz blew his ACL out in a charity skiing event. So they drafted me as insurance in case something went wrong with the surgery.
You don't think you would have got drafted if it wasn't for that?
Not to Denver, no. I probably would have been living in my mom's basement playing, trying to play for the Patriots or something.
Philip Lindsay.
I mean, there was only three other teams that picked after the Broncos did. So I probably was not going to be drafted. I was just drafted because of that injury. So, yeah, I got lucky. Big time.
That is kind of crazy when you think about a turn of events that lucked out for you, that resulted in you and your family living in one place for what,
forever. A lot longer than I ever lived in Massachusetts.
Insane.
94.
Was
it 25 years?
It's pretty crazy.
Couldn't find Denver on a map.
What'd you know about Denver?
Nothing. Nothing. The only thing I remember is watching the Patriots play Denver in Mile High, and I always remember like
snow.
Like these confetti always in the air during the games.
Yeah.
And it was always seemed like it was a playoff game or a big game. The Patriots, it seemed like they would always lose. That's about all I knew about Denver. I knew nothing. I hadn't been on many aeroplanes, so taking an air flight many times in my life.
You're a jerk. John, you're on the Fan. Hi, John.
How are you guys?
All right.
Awesome.
Good, good. Just kind of circling back to the 18-game schedule and player safety, I've got a couple of things I'm curious. First, would adding a second bye week maybe be
yes.
helpful? And then,
yes.
And then two, yeah, Tommy, I'm curious to get your take on this. In terms of, like, player safety and, you know, getting guys, you know, healthy for the season and such, just kind of curious in terms, you know, with – oh, shoot, gosh, lost my point. Sorry about that, guys.
All right. Way to hit the eject button.
Wait, he was going to get it back.
No, he hung up.
He did?
He hung up. He lost his...
No, he just lost his...
He lost his point.
Player
and then
safety.
Then he nuked out on himself. He was gone. That wasn't me. I
thought he was going to get back to it.
He lost his train of thought and then he's gone.
Does the 18-game season... Does it affect CTE at all?
No.
Nothing. No. If you're going to get head contact in 16 games, is there much difference between 18 and 16? Two more games.
What we realize if you...
And you're losing two preseason games, and despite what people think, you actually... Everybody plays in those games, too.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
What studies have revealed, and there's been a lot of stories about it, the real problem with CTE in football was practice, not the games. It was the repetitive impact, and it wasn't just the impact head-to-head. It was just the jarring motion of the head. And that you would just take so many more jarring motions to the head through practice than you could ever imagine through a game.
Yeah, I can see that. But you're still out there practicing once a day.
Well, it's totally different. Now it's a whole new world.
The problem with CTE, and it's not the Troy Aikman getting knocked out in games. It's more the sub-concussive hits, the small little tick, tick, tick on your head where linemen do it all the time.
Yeah, every play.
Every practice, every play, those hits are happening.
Yep.
And you cannot eliminate that.
No.
And adding two games does not...
No,
it's not going to make things better or worse. It's the same. You got it regardless.
No.
You might as well just enjoy the extra money.
Well, that's
for
right.
For as long as you can enjoy it, right?
Maybe your body suffers more from other elements of your body. I don't know. But I think you'd more or less, you're at risk every time you go out there.
Yeah, poor Nico. ACL, you're going to tear it.
Nico Fowler. What was he doing? What was Nico Fowler this spring doing anything different than what everybody else?
Going to tear your Achilles. It's going to
nothing.
Gonna tear Jeff Heuerman first practice.
first punting. Kick coverage.
Just running down the
running
field.
A straight line. Sorry, dude. There goes your ACL. Now, what I think is on both of those occasions, and this is, I mean, a little bit like going through an ACL injury, my feeling is they probably both already had something going on. So,
oh,
the guy who lost his point is back.
John got his point back.
I don't know if I can go right back to him. I mean, does he deserve us to go right back to him? I got other guys on hold.
Come on, man.
Come on. Get John back.
John, I'm taking a chance here, my friend. Stay focused.
I'm making it quick.
Okay.
It's regarding Thursday night football. Tommy, would it be better to move it to Friday? I don't understand why they don't do that. Is there a reason behind it?
Yep, it's Friday night football is the high school night. It's why they don't play Saturday night either until the college season ends. I think the NFL is deferred to high school football, then college football. That's the reasoning behind it. They feel like Friday night is sacred for Friday night.
I don't think that's it at all.
Yes, it is.
I think there's more TV viewers on Thursday night than Friday nights. Friday nights, people go out.
Yeah, where do they go? Bars. They watch the game.
Yeah, but bars
they
don't.
School, they go to high school football games.
They don't count ratings wise as much as
it's Friday night football.
It's
Friday night. It's Friday night high school football.
It's money. Everything is money.
It's high school football.
They're not doing anything because of high school football.
Yes, they are.
They're doing because of eyeballs at home on Thursday night.
Then why do they wait until after the college season is done?
You ever hear a show called Seinfeld?
Of course. I watch it every night.
What night was it on?
It was Thursday night.
Yeah. Friends?
Nobody watches.
ER?
Nobody's watching must-see TV.
Give me one show on Friday night. Give me one big show ever that you remember watching on Friday night. I dare you to say Friday night videos.
That's only because television conditioned us to watch Monday through Thursday.
Dude, people go out more on Friday nights.
You don't do anything and I don't do anything. We're people.
Barely.
What are we doing on Friday night?
Barely. Brandon, nothing. Brandon, you're on the fan. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Hey.
So Tommy, I kind of wanted to hit this up with you. I just want to say, too, man, I know the center don't get all the glam and glory, but you were always one of my favorite players growing up. I just wanted to hit real fast on you talking about, like, how you were saying, like, Denver is the Broncos and the Broncos are Denver. Like, just really cool to hear you say that because, like you said, we love our teams out here, the other three, you know, the Rockies, Avs, and Nuggets, but there's just something about the Broncos that is just light years away from what the other sports will ever mean to us. So I just appreciate you hitting on that, man.
It's the truth because I came from New England and nobody cared about the Patriots. Nobody.
Wow.
There was one year like 1986 or 85.
Squish the fish.
No. You got to remember the Patriots in the pecking order in Boston, it's the Bruins and Red Sox, then the Celtics, and then a distant fourth.
Back in the day.
Yeah. They were down there with the T-Men. The New England T-Men.
Who are the T-Men?
They were a professional soccer team.
Not the Revolution, the T-Men?
No, the T-Men. They played the Cosmo. They were back in the old...
The 70s and the NASL?
Yes.
The T-Men.
Yes. They played at Foxborough Stadium.
Did John Smith play on the Patriots and the T-Men?
He may have.
Okay, I think he did, actually.
I guess
that.
He was British, right?
Yeah.
But I came from there, and then I come to Denver where the entire city shuts down on Sunday. There's nothing. Whereas in Foxborough, where I grew up, where the Patriots play, people could care less. They could care less about the Patriots. And I came to here, and I was like, you're elevated to God status because you're on the practice squad of the Denver Broncos. It's crazy.
But... In Patriots land, there was one cagey old guy sitting in the stands with a season ticket saying, someday I'll own this team. And then I'll get myself a good massage.
Ooh, Victor Kiam?
No. I don't know what his massage schedule is all about, regimen. No, Robert Kraft is sitting there.
You really think the Patriots are something? The Buffalo Bills, I don't know if the Sabres or the Bills are the bigger draw there.
Oh, Bills, for sure. Sabres are a nice... after the season's over thing. But Bills are huge.
That's Denver. That's Denver with the Broncos. And it always has been. I came from a place where people could care less about NFL football for the most part.
By the way,
they were casual football fans.
I got a guy who's a buddy of mine, Mark, who's a screenwriter in Hollywood. He just sent me a text. Ad dollars on Thursdays are way, 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 way bigger than Friday.
That's only because we conditioned them. Okay. If you put NFL football on Friday,
you're just going to die with the argument. I got it.
It's a legit argument. It's wrong. It's about high school football.
Right.
Why aren't they on Saturday nights?
They are on Saturday nights sometimes.
After when? After college football.
Well, no, they pay attention to college football. Yeah. Right. Because there's advertising and marketing and TV schedules set up with that too.
You don't think the NFL could package their Thursday night programming into Friday night and make it just as good? It would be a better product because you have one more day to prepare.
Well, listen,
I don't think it would do anything.
The answer to the Thursday night thing, the real answer is if you're going to do 18 games, which seems what it will be all about. If you're going to do that, then you need to add an additional bye week into the season so that the Thursday night games somehow, don't ask me exactly how, but I'm sure it would work out schedule-wise.
Right. Coming off your bye, you play a Thursday night.
That's right.
It would be perfect.
Correct.
You'd almost get what's it, 10 days and then 10 days sort of thing.
However it works. Right. That's right.
That's the only way. Then you'd have a fantastic football game.
And now preseason can start probably a week later. The season can start the exact same it always does.
It's a 20-week season.
Right. That's right. Whatever that is, right? So 5 months, September to October, October to November, November, December, December. Yeah. And the key is to move the Super Bowl back 2 weeks to President's Day. That's it. That's all you got to do.
And clean up Thursday Night Football.
And it will be cleaned up like that if you have two bye weeks.
I don't know how the math works out with that, but that's the way to do it. It's teams coming off the bye, playing on Thursday night.
If they give more money.
Because I've never loved the entire, I hate the Super Bowl, how it has. I'd get rid of that week. 2 weeks is too long to play a football game.
It's not for rest, it's for logistics.
Now we're talking after the bye week, it's 10 days. You're going to get a good product on the field on Thursday night.
Yeah.
You'll get more money. More people will be watching because people, you know, people roll their eyes at Thursday night football.
They have, justifiably.
It's a bad product. You can try whatever color uniform you want on Thursday night to make it interesting, but you can't.
This is one of my favorite topics here in Denver of all time. Make it relatively quick, but Eric, you want to bring up one of my favorite topics. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. What's up?
I want to know how you guys feel about Ray Bourque's jersey being retired by the Avalanche.
Thank you, Eric.
Is he he's trolling me? He say Ray Bourque or Raymond Bourque?
He said Ray Bourque.
It's Raymond. I hate it. A year and a half. A year and a half. I don't hate it. They did it before the Bruins did. The Rafters. They raised Raymond Bourque's number to Pepsi Center before the Garden. Makes no sense.
Retiring Ray Bourque's number here in Denver is one of the silliest things of all time. It makes no sense whatsoever. Although that season and a half that he was here with the Avs was very, very special. I mean, it was so freaking exciting.
Well, there's no denying that.
But retiring his number is
Raymond
absurd.
Bourque was probably a little embarrassed. If I know Raymond.
And do you know Raymond?
I do not know Raymond.
High five at 5:30. Who are we going to give a high five to? I got a great one. I think you've been, actually, I got two great ones.
You can do both.
Okay, we'll get to it next.
Sandwich mine.